Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
People trying to enhance, build, change their legacy. But Dad, the time to start is now. You say, well, it's too late. No, it's not. Start now and say, I'm going to be a man of God. I want my kids, my grandkids, to know they have the call of God on their life. And I want them to know the Lord as I am seeking now to know and serve the Lord. What will your legacy be?
The truth is, you have a legacy to leave that can make a difference. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Leaving a Legacy, and shows you how to embrace your God-given role as a leader for the next generation. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Leaving a Legacy.
There has to be a self-death before you're ready to live. The calling of God isn't, boy, what can I do? What can I get out of it? How can I be important? What will this come? What will happen to me? But a selfless kind of service. That was the call that he was laying on him. Now, this was a little heritage tour. You see it? This is where we started, first steps. This is you learn how to talk to God, Bethel to pray. You're going to have battles in your life, Elijah. And certainly there's going to be a time of death in your life so you can truly serve and be free to serve and live for the Lord. Now, interesting thing here. In this little heritage tour, you have Elijah saying something to Elisha three different times. Listen to this. Elijah said to Elisha, verse 2, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. That happened every time. They were at Gilgal. They were at Bethel. They were at Jericho. Every time. Elijah said, you don't have to go any further than this, Elisha. You stay right here. Elisha said, let me tell you something. I'm going to stick with you. You see, the wide receivers in football, you know, sometimes they don't catch a pass, and the announcer will point out and said, that defensive back, he's been inside his jersey this whole game. He couldn't get away from him. That's the way it was with Elisha. He told Elijah, you don't have to go anywhere. What was he doing? He was testing Elisha. He said, Elisha, you'd stop here at Gilgal, take the first steps of faith, remember, that's all you need. Take care of this school of prophets. He said, no, I'm going with you. Well, you go to Bethel, learn how to pray. Oh, no, I'm going on. Well, we go to Jericho, there can be a battle. Oh, no, I'm going on. You're going with me all the way across Jordan. Yes, I'm going the full way with you. You see, Elisha was picking up upon his heritage, upon that which was his. Then we have the wonderful picture of crossing Jordan. A powerful, powerful story. Listen to it. Verse 7. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, folded together, struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please give me a double portion of your spirit upon me." Let me ask you to see this. They're crossing Jordan. He takes his mantle off, bang, pops the water. They walk through on the other side, out of God's land. This is the picture we get, by the way, of death. We talk about crossing Jordan. That's it. Crossing Jordan, and they walk over on the other side. And when they're there, Elijah looks at Elisha and says, "What can I do for you? I'm about to be taken up to heaven. What can I do for you?" And Elisha, I think, shocks Elijah. He said, "I want twice of the power of God that you've had in your life. I want to be a double portion guy." You know what that would be like? Here's a 24-year-old kid that's been following Dr. Billy Graham around. And Graham's in the fourth quarter of his life. He says, "Son, what can I do for you?" He said, "Mr. Graham, I want to have twice as much of the influence and the power of God in my life as you've had." Does that sound a little presumptuous to anybody? Here's Billy Graham, who's spoken to more people in the flesh than anybody who's ever lived. Anybody. More people in the flesh. Anybody who's ever lived. Here's this little kid saying, "Well, I want to just be doubled up on what you've done." Let me tell you something. I like Elisha's request. I like that as this young protege, he knew that his God was a big God. I want you to see the answer to this, the response to this. It's interesting. Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing." Well, Elijah's had a pretty dramatic career, has he not? He said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." In other words, Elijah's saying, "Elisha, I can't give you this double portion of everything I've had. That's not mine to give. God can do it. But I tell you what, if you see me when I'm taken up into heaven, then you're going to be a double portion man." Now, I want you to listen to the scripture now when this happens, because they're on the other side of the Jordan. I love the little phrase here. It says, verse 11, "And they were going along and talking," just walking, Elijah and Elisha. "Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven." Verse 12, "Elisha saw it and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces." What was happening? They were walking along, and Elisha did see Elijah when the chariots of fire and the horses of fire took him all the way up into heaven in that whirlwind. Wonderful, dramatic moment. You thought Carmel was dramatic. What about this moment? And Elisha is tearing his clothes and saying, "My father, my father." And he's grieving the graduation of Elijah. Let me tell you something. When a man or woman of God leaves this earth, nothing of God is lost. Nothing of God is lost. There are those in the wings. There are those ready. There are those prepared to stand up and be there. How important it is we understand that. I'm privileged to have some Elijahs in my life, Jim Deloach and others. I'm privileged to have Elishas in my life. We all need an Elijah. We all need Elishas who will stand with us and encourage us and speak the truth to us in love and be with us at those moments. And now we know that Elisha was there for Elijah, and he's grieving the graduation. But then we see a dramatic thing happens. We see the heritage, the inheritance of what Elijah leaves Elisha. What was Elisha's inheritance from Elijah? We see it in the following verses. Look at it. Verse 13. He also took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Verse 15, now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha." What happened here? It is the legacy. It is what Elijah leaves Elisha. What is it? He leaves him his mantle. Whew, whirlwind. Elijah's caught up. Fire, horses, chariots. He's gone. And everything is blowing around. And Elisha is mourning the graduation of Elijah. But he looks over there in a bush. He says, "What is that? What is that?" Well, that's his mantle. His mantle, the mantle that he put over me when I was called there 10 years ago. The mantle of his office indicated that he was a prophet. Now, Elisha had a choice. He could have looked at the mantle and said, "Man, that old thing, I don't want any of that." He could have gone over and got the mantle, the cloak out of the bush and looked at it and says, "You know, I'm going to be my own man. I'm not going to just be what Elijah was. I'm my own man." But he didn't. He got that mantle. He picked it up and he put it on. In other words, he understood what Elijah was telling him. He had the call of God upon him. Parents, fathers, we need to make sure our kids understand that God has a plan for their life. He has a design for their life. He has a purpose for their life. They need to hear that from us all the time as they are growing up in our homes. God has something special for you because you are special to God. See, that's that mantle, that's that call that's upon all of our children. And we see the mantle was picked up and put on the back of Elisha, and he went over the river and he struck the river and the river divided. He said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And all the prophets were looking at it and said, "He's right there with Elisha." It's not the power, it's not in the mantle. It's the God that Elijah worshiped is the God that Elisha will serve and follow. What did he leave him? He left him his mantle and he left him his God. And he built that relationship with him. Now, what did Elisha ask for? A double portion. Study the life of Elisha, and you know what you'll find out? He served the Lord twice the amount of years that Elijah served him. Did you know that? How many miracles did Elijah perform? Eight miracles. How many miracles do you think Elisha performed? Anybody want to guess? 16. And you study Elisha, you see that he had more compassion than Elijah. His miracles were compassionate miracles, not dramatic so much like Elijah. You see, he had more wisdom than Elisha. You study Elisha's life. He's not as famous and well-known as Elijah in biblical circles, but he was a double-portioned man, doubly blessed, doubly used by God. Amazing, isn't it? The legacy that he was left, how important it is. Today, people wake up and they say, "Well, you know, I need to leave a better legacy than I'm going to leave." I read that there's a guy in the Baylor College of Medicine who has devised a website by which you can buy and pre-write text messages or letters or any way you communicate, and after you're dead, they will get an email for you or a text message for you years and years after you're dead. You just put the names on the list, pay enough money, and bam, first very month, boom, here's a letter from old Bill. He's been gone 5 years. And it just goes on. And evidently, he's making a lot of money. There is a patent pending, listen, in the U.S. Patent Office, right, a patent pending that somebody has devised that you put on a tombstone a little video deal. You go up there and mash a button, and the guy who is dead will be there speaking to you, giving you counsel as you visit his gravesite. Video tombstones. I may want one of them myself. People trying to enhance, build, change their legacy. But Dad, the time to start is now. You say, well, it's too late. No, it's not. Start where you are now and say, I'm going to be a man of God. I want my kids, my grandkids, to know they have the call of God on their life. And I want them to know the Lord as I am seeking now to know and serve the Lord. What will your legacy be, Dad? You say, well, I'm going to leave some money. I'm going to give this to my kids. The important thing is not what we give to our kids. It's what we pour into our kids of time, of love, of listening, of encouragement, of being there, of embracing, of mentoring and modeling. That's your legacy. Not what you give to them, not what you leave to them. It's what you pour into them from yourself and from your heart of hearts. Some of you remember a movie that has come and gone, Mr. Holland's Opus. How many of you remember or seen it or heard of it, lived here? Yeah, yeah. Have a long time. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that was in the movie. Richard Dreyfuss was the star, but the theme was fabulous. You remember that Mr. Holland had in his mind and ability, he wanted to write an opus, a musical. He wanted to write a piece of music as a musician that would be powerful, that would express all the music he felt in his heart and mind and soul. But he was having trouble getting it down, so he thought in the interim, he would take a job as a public school music teacher in a little underprivileged section of a city. He said, I'll just sign up for a year while I'm writing my opus. And he signed up for 1 year, 2 years, and finally 10, 15, 20 years go by, and they defund the arts and the music in this school. And now Mr. Holland is an old man, and he has to retire. And he goes, he's picking up his stuff in his little classroom thinking, my life has been a failure. I want to write this wonderful opus, this musical piece that would just go on and on. But man, I've just taught kids all these years. And as he's walking out of the door, defeated, broken, feel like he'd thrown his life away, the principal comes over and says, Mr. Holland, would you step into the auditorium with me for a moment? He said, oh, yeah. So he walks in, and the auditorium is filled. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of his former students, now grown, now with families. And he walks in, and they cheer, and they applaud, and they stand up, and they cry. And the governor of the state and all kinds of people in different vocations, they stand up and give witness to what Mr. Holland had meant to him and teaching them to love music, appreciate music, to sing and to know something about music. It was an emotional time, a fabulous time. What is the thesis? Mr. Holland looked around that packed, packed auditorium and he thought, here is my opus. It's all these students. That's my legacy. How powerful. How meaningful, how significant. Dad, look at your kids tonight before you tuck them in and pray with them and tell them a story. Because I can tell you, your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters. That is your opus. What will your legacy be?
I'm Wayne Shepherd with Dr. Ed Young. Let's take a few moments to talk about this message today, an important message here in The Winning Walk. Dr. Young, I love this message, leaving a legacy, but I wonder if it's ever too late to leave a godly legacy. Some people may feel that way sometimes.
You know, it's not too late. I just baptized and welcomed into our church about 3 weeks ago a man who was in his early 90s, and it was quite a chore because of physical problems to see him go in the baptistry as we do in our tradition and baptized him.
Well, I bet that was something very special.
It was something very special, and when he came up out of the water, there's a radiance and tears coming out his eyes, and he said, oh, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Now, His legacy to family and friends, I'm not sure. It may be very pagan and very tragic. But I'll tell you, I think with that man, they'll remember the courage he demonstrated, even in the fourth quarter of his life, to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that will be his legacy. But better yet, I would say to some young person who is listening even now, start right now. You're building your legacy. You're standing on your tomorrows. And so this is the moment to begin. Finish strong. So many people start strong and they finish weak. Solomon is a good biblical example. Other people start weak, the prodigal son, and finish strong. So you can go through the Bible. Very few started strong, stayed strong, and finished strong. Daniel is one of the, well, really the best illustration you can find in the Old Testament of that. That should be our witness. That should be the legacy that they have with Wayne and Ed and all. Start strong, stay strong, finish strong. And that is a powerful walk. In fact, Wayne, that's the way you have a winning walk with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I knew that one was coming. Hey, we have just a minute here, Pastor. I want you to look men in the eye, because so often us men feel like, well, leaving a legacy is about all the big things. In reality, it's about a lot of the little things, too, isn't it?
It's mostly about the little things, Wayne. You ask your kids what they remember about their childhood. They'll bring up some silly little thing. I remember the time you went and we couldn't find you when you were hiding up in the tree. And I remember this time. It's those little bitty things that we don't even remember that really our children and now for me, our grandchildren cherish. So when you're available with your kids, be totally available. Be there, heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and that helps build in that legacy. Also, when they see you in a moment of crisis, how you handle that. When they see you in a moment of great triumph, how you handle that. In other words, the teachable moments are sometimes when we're depressed and we don't want to teach. And the teachable moments sometimes are when we're elated and we don't even think about teaching. Mm-hmm. They've got to see us handle defeat and victory as well as the mundane things of life. And that's the legacy that we'll leave.
And it all adds up together. Dr. Young, thank you for your time. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young shares what it takes to achieve true greatness. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.